The following is part two of a special recording from services held at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach to honor our beloved pastor, Chuck Smith.
Set free my heart, set free my soul.
All right, Ed, you got the mic.
All right. A couple of things that stand out to me. I'm one of the long-haired hippies that him and Kay welcomed into the church originally, so we're fruit of that. And one of the things that struck me most about Chuck is that we used to have afterglow after the Bible studies during the week. Mm. And he was always just really approachable. That face is what you always saw. That big smile. Yeah. There'd be sometimes 10 or 20 of us, sometimes 100 of us in the afterglow just waiting on the Lord and having the Holy Spirit come and move against us. And then it was just that he was always approachable.
Yeah.
And the love of Jesus was always manifested. And for, you know, like us hippies, we were the outcasts. You know, people really didn't like us that much. So the other thing that struck me was that being a musician is watching him away from church when the pastors used to play in the musicians in softball over at Hart Park. He was the same guy.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
He was just a guy that loved Jesus,
and
he wanted you to know that love.
That's right. The real deal, right?
And it really impacted me, and it caused me to become, you know, the man of God that I am today if it wasn't for that.
Amen. You know? Amen.
So it's just,
good point. Yeah. And you know what? That, had I done the study on grace and holiness this weekend, I definitely would have used that example. Chuck's a great example of what holiness is. Some of us, based on our upbringing and religious upbringing, we thought of holiness as just being kind of very religious and very ethereal and almost mystical and just kind of a strange connotation of what it is to be holy. And it really means just to be set apart for the Lord. And so Chuck was a good example of that. And you guys are too. So it's not like only Chuck was, but boy, that's what you saw. It was the real deal. Just a guy that loved Jesus and his whole life revolved around Jesus. He wasn't a religious man. He just was a man that had a thriving relationship with the Lord. So that's good, Ed. Thank you. Elizabeth.
I just feel that we were so blessed to be taught by Pastor Chuck. We were able to just be, really walk alongside him and see his life, just a legacy. And it's kind of like we walk with the disciples in the Bible when I think of how his example was and how he stood so strong and he didn't care about what people thought. He just feared the Lord and he just set a great example for us. And I don't know. I feel like he allowed us to be part of history, too.
Yeah, so that's right.
And just to have that legacy carry on is just, we're so fortunate.
Yeah, we are. We are. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thanks, Elizabeth. That's good. George is waiting there. Chris is in shape, and he'll be there, George, in probably three seconds.
He's
that. There we go.
I'll go.
The thing that was most important to me was when Sally was in the hospital on life support in 92, I lived in the Maranatha music. The Maranatha tapes, I've still got just about all of them. And the song that stayed with me is The Battle Belonged to the Lord. Because it was his battle.
Yes.
And it wasn't anything that I could do.
Wow. That's cool. And very instrumental, no pun intended. Really wasn't. In that Maranatha music. Just allowing that to grow organically. It wasn't like, well, you know, we need to do this because that's the next step we should take. It's just you had people that, hey, we got music and it's about the Lord. And can we record this? Can we get this out? And the Lord blessed that. And you know, from that has come just a huge reservoir of a very rich music that we have today, and obviously not just in the Calvary Chapels, but really birthed in that time. So, right on. Eileen.
One of my first memories of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, I had, back in the 70s, I'm old, I had gone into the church, and I thought, okay, I'd come out of a church that had good music background and everything, and I came in, and first thing I noticed, there's no choir. And I thought, oh, okay, well, we'll see how it goes. And the whole congregation started singing, and they were singing in rounds. And it was absolutely beautiful. Yeah. It was like angels were singing, and I kept looking. You know, okay, who's singing behind me? Because wow. I knew it wasn't me. And then when Chuck, you know, he closed his services, and it was always with that beautiful song, you know, and you just felt so blessed with him.
Yeah, amen.
But, you know, it's great. I mean, I remember his birthdays in the park. I remember when we had big convention meetings because he wanted to see all his little churches together, and we'd be at the convention center. I mean, it was good times, good times. Indeed. I remember sitting on the rocks and passing the bread and the wine, the juice.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was when I could climb the rocks.
That's good. Thanks, Eileen.
This is an experience of many years ago, but my niece and I have a relative, and this is many years ago, as I said. He was a very successful man in Orange County. Mm. He succeeded, it seemed like, so much of what he did to gain status in the world. Mm. And he had sons, and they weren't too interested in the business. But in any case, the youngest one, John, became a victim of cancer, and it nearly killed Jack. Mm. And the son tried to get his father to come to Chuck's church. And Jack wanted nothing to do with it. And it became a real problem. Well, the young boy, John, became worse. He moved up north, and he was hospitalized with cancer. And they notified Jack that his youngest son was dying of cancer. And he could not buy this because he had so much of this world going for him. He was one of the most popular men at one of the largest clubs in Newport Beach, and they knew he would be there all the time, and he was always going and had the best of everything. He called John and said, "John, what do you want?" And he says, "I'd like to see you, and I would like to see Chuck Smith." And that really surprised Jack.
Yeah.
But Jack said, "If he's dying, that's all I can do is try to get Chuck to go." And he called Chuck. Chuck did not hesitate. He said, "I will call you back in 30 minutes and give you the plane that I'll be on."
Wow.
Chuck flew up, met Jack. Jack could not believe it. Chuck didn't seem to be in a rush. He didn't push. He was just so gentle with John, and John, he said, was just alive with life to see Pastor Chuck. The day ended, and they both had to come home. They came home, and when they got to the airport, Jack said, "How much money do you want?" Chuck says, "I don't want your money." He says, "I'll pay you anything, $200, $500. Chuck Smith said, "I do not do this for money. I do it because I love my Lord."
Amen. Amen.
And that shows us that Chuck had no interest in money, no interest in popularity. He truly served his Lord.
Amen.
And Jack could not believe that a man would refuse money. It's not to say anything against Jack.
No, not at all.
It's to say that Chuck's interest were his congregation.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you. Good example of how our motives are powerful in our sharing of the gospel. All right. We got four more. Here's one of four.
Well, mine's going to be really quick. I don't know if any of you guys know this, but Pastor Chuck used to drive the golf cart all over the campus at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And I was there one afternoon, and he was driving the cart, and I jumped out of my car, and I went up to him, and I said I was just really honored to meet him. And I was reading one of his current books, and I said, "Oh, I wish I had it with me because I would really like your autograph." And he just cracked up laughing, and he just thought that was the greatest thing, and he was just so humble. But yeah. what he did in his golf cart was picked up all the trash that people would leave wow. all over the place. So that's what he was doing when I met him. And
wow.
He said, bring the book back anytime, I'll sign it for you, no problem.
That's awesome.
So
that's
that was
great.
A good story.
That's cool.
Where
cool.
else am I going?
Well, I never met Pastor Chuck, but I went to a men's conference once, and he was there, speaker, you know, and one thing I noticed about him was his countenance. He was a happy guy, a love for the brother, and he just gave this love to the people around him.
Yeah.
I couldn't, my mind was just focused on him, and I want to get closer to him because yeah. it was personable.
Yeah.
The smile he had was a real smile,
yeah.
the joy from the inside out. And that's what, he was an excellent speaker. Yeah.
It was that joy of the Lord, right? It's contagious.
He was.
Yeah, right on.
Real, the reality of Jesus Christ in him.
Not pretentious, the real deal. No. That's good, Daniel.
I went to Calvary Chapel in the 70s, probably 1970, when I was in junior high, and I'd come out of a church that was a little more conservative, and one of our friends had just brought his friend to Sunday school, and he became a Christian, and we were all so excited, and he was from Hawaii and had the long hair that was just, you know, flowing everywhere, and we took him into church. We're going to introduce him to the pastor, and the deacons wouldn't let us take him into church because his hair was long. And soon after that, my mother changed churches, went to Calvary for some other reason. And of course, all around me were hippies and druggies and whatever. And that definitely impacted me, seeing how Chuck, who was, you know, pretty conservative looking guy himself at that time, and he just accepted everyone. And I still see that in the Calvary chapels today. Yeah. It's not long haired hippies. It's, you know, somebody different, but anybody can come. Anybody can come see Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Because that's the heart of the Lord, right? That's the heart of our Savior. Larry?
Okay, well, I met him in 1981 when I first moved to California. I was divorced with a 4-year-old son, and I think I came here in August, and right before Thanksgiving, he did a sermon, and I don't know how I stumbled onto the church. I just started going there, raised a Lutheran, and anyway, he said, he made an announcement right before Thanksgiving saying, anyone that didn't have funds for Thanksgiving dinner, just come and see him. And I was doing straight commission sales and barely making anything because I just started. And
right.
So he just shook everyone's hand and put some money in it. And I left, went outside and looked, and then he put a $50 bill in my hand.
Oh, my.
And it was like $1,000 to me because I bought everything that my mom would have made for a Thanksgiving dinner.
That's cool.
And so we continued going there, and I probably accepted the Lord that Thanksgiving, I think. And my son now is... a believer with my 3 grandkids.
Praise the Lord. That's cool. Thanks, Larry.
Well, in 1972, my wife and I were just about ready to tear the sheets in half and go separate ways. And she heard about a tent where long hairs, barefoot people could go. And she said, I'm going to go to that tent meeting tonight in Costa Mesa. And in her heart, I found out later, it was just to make me mad because we were against what they called organized religion. So to make her mad, I went with her. And as they say, the rest is history.
Yeah, that's awesome.
1972.
Amen. Good. Thanks, Steve.
Sorry.
All right. Jeff, right over there. Al Cameron's got his hand up.
Hi. I got baptized by Chuck Smith 25 years ago, and it was at Pirates Cove, yeah.
Yes.
And so Chuck goes and he submerges me, and I mean, he'd been doing this with hundreds of people, and he drops me under the water, and I come up, and it's like, it's like... The Spirit just overwhelmed me, and I gave him a great big hug. And he was dry at the time. I think we both almost went into the water, but, you know, it was just a great thing. And he's a sweet guy.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You know, just hearing Al as he shared that and kind of the tears welling up, and it prompted me, made me remember something I forgot to share real quickly. Acts 8:2, Pastor Bill, and you can see from that video, kind of choked up a little like Al, and had sent me a text a day and a half ago that he was just really concerned. He was getting ready to share with a bunch of folks to do a message and just couldn't contain those tears and you know, how is that all going to play out? And the Lord gave him that verse up there, Acts 8:2. Godly men buried Stephen, the first martyr, you're familiar with him, and they mourned deeply for him. And that just encouraged him. The Lord gave him that verse. I never thought of that verse in light of remembering somebody that's passed. That it's okay to mourn. I'm very familiar, some of you are, with 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but Acts 8:2, these were godly men, but they mourned deeply. But they mourned differently, because we grieve differently, right? As believers, those of us that are believers in this room, when somebody passes that we love, we grieve, but it's different. And so that's why Paul said this, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant about those who sleep in death, using sleep because it speaks of that temporary state of death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. And see, those that are believers, there's that hope. Not hope in that wishful thinking, maybe, sense, but that confident expectation in what the Word of God says. And so we grieve differently. And we have that confidence. Those of us that are believers, if you're not a believer, you're probably thinking, man, that how do you talk about death like that? It's very simple. When your eternity is in the hands of Jesus, then you can. So it's okay to grieve, but we just grieve differently. All right, Eric, do you have, so we got somebody over here. There's Joe and Jeff. Do you have anybody who's closest to? All right. Joe's got some.
This is just a quick one. I was reading about Chuck. A lot of us got to meet him, but this is something I read about him, and it said that if you read in the paper that I passed, that I died, he said, it's a lie. He said, I moved.
There you go. Right on. Relocation, right? Yeah. He's gone home. Jeff, is that Patty Pointer there?
Hi. 1975, it was a women's liber.
Really?
Very rebellious. And at that time, it was the effects of Pastor Chuck, like you, Pastor Allen, the people you met. So first off, I was a hairdresser. It was someone who loved the Lord and started witnessing to me. I was their hairdresser. Mm. At the same time, my brother Bob had got saved, started telling me about Jesus, same message, and somebody I worked with. And they all started talking about the same thing. Mm. Well, I was very rebellious, so I refuted and I debated and I argued. But one night I went home, and I remember in my bed, because the Word of God is alive and powerful.
Amen.
And I remember saying, okay, well, Jesus, it was my first prayer. If there's anything in that black book that says anything against women, then it's over. But I'm going to try you out. And I have never been as liberated and
Amen.
Free and
right
at
on.
Peace since that
oh,
first
that's awesome.
Prayer.
Thank that's you, good. Jesus. That's cool. That's great. Eric, anybody on your side of the room? We might have to develop.
I got one.
Oh,
I got it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, in 1975, Patty and I decided to get baptized out at Corona Del Mar. So this line had to have been 2 or 3 miles long for Pastor Chuck. So we kept going and going. We were in the water like an hour and a half. I was freezing, you know. It was, I believe, September. And so I finally just said, hey, there's nobody in that line over there. Let's go get baptized by him. And found out it was Chuck Jr. So we got baptized.
Right on. That's cool, Meter. All right. There you go. You guys got to help Eric out. Jeff's taking the numbers. All right. Eric's going to come over here and this. Jeff's going to take back. And
Bernice. 1971, I was a student in college yes. and engaged.
Ah.
And I was questioning my decision to get married. Ah. And I decided to go soul searching, so I hitchhiked around the country.
Mm.
And my very first ride, these two guys on a convertible, uh-huh. on Newport Boulevard, stopped and picked me up.
Uh-huh.
In afterthought, now I think, well, they probably thought this guy needs the Lord to help him find a car. But I don't even remember how far they took me, but they took me quite a ways up the road. And when I got out, Pastor Chuck handed me a card and said, I'm starting a new church. I'd love to see you there. 1971.
Wow, that's wild. That's great. Thank you. All right, Eric.
Hi. I came here in 1998 to California and had a job. Uh-huh. And the first place I went was, because it was down the road from where I lived, to uh-huh. Calvary Chapel.
Yeah.
And I got involved right away in the church and started singing. We formed a choir with Dean and all of that.
Yeah.
And I think it was really funny because I had never been in a church where they didn't clap hands. And so after church, I asked him, I said, Pastor Chuck, how come nobody claps hands in here? You said you come from a four-square church. And he said, come by my office, and I'll explain everything. He says, I can tell who you are. He said, you're a live wire. So I did. I went by. We had a lot of nice discussions of why, but I always remember his laugh. And he said, you know, Bernice, no one can ever forget you.
Amen.
So I thank God that he made such an impression on my life because he has such a gentle spirit. Never was one to criticize. Just sit down and talk to you about the different views. And I really appreciate that.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Bernice. You know, you guys, keep in mind, you know, as we talk about Chuck and the things that Bernice just shared, and that which our brother just shared about Chuck picking him up when he was hitchhiking, and we talk about those attributes, the purpose is not to venerate this man. He would hate that if it ever went in that direction. And I trust you would as well if something went in that direction for your life. But those are attributes of Jesus. That's what the body of Christ is about, right? Is people seeing Jesus in you. And so we're just talking about how we saw Jesus in Chuck. But people see him in you too. And so, you know, Bernice talks about that side of Jesus that we saw in Chuck. But when you hear about those things and that welcoming spirit and that not critical spirit, wanting to point you to truth, but with a giant grin, that's like Jesus. So please keep that in mind. That's really ultimately we're talking about the attributes of Jesus. Okay, who's next?
Hi.
Okay. Hey.
Okay. This is Dick.
Hey, Dick. Hi.
Hi. In 1980, I was working with Open Doors to smuggle 1 million Bibles into China. Brother Ben was here and shared that a few months ago.
Yes.
And Keith Ritter, who was one of the original 10 Christians that became a Christian through the 10th ministry that Chuck started, said, let's go see Chuck. He was working with Open Doors too at that time. Mm-hmm. And he says, let's go see Chuck and see if he can help because we need to raise $1.5 million. And we went to see Chuck. We just popped in and four of us sat down and told him about the ministry and what we were doing. And he didn't say anything. He just kind of walked into back to his office and came back with a very, very large check that financed a tremendous amount of those Bibles to get into China.
Wow. Awesome.
Nobody knows this story. I've only told a few people over the past 30-some years this story. Mm. But Chuck was a humble man. That's what made him great
right on. In
the eyes of God and all of us.
Amen. Thanks, Dick. That's good. All right. You got two over there, Eric. Intersection then. Jeff, while Eric's doing that, could you make your way over to the wing, as it were? All right.
Right along with what Pastor Allen was just sharing, in 1976, I would drive out from Norwalk to Costa Mesa for the concerts. And listen to Pastor Chuck and the other pastors teach. And I remember it was always after the concert or after a song, our fingers would go up pointing to heaven. And it was because Chuck taught us all, it's Jesus. It's not us. It's not in us or anything that God has gifted us, but it's all him.
Amen.
And I just really praise God for Chuck in my life. I had the pleasure of having him dedicate both my kids.
Oh, right.
And just sweet memories of the man.
Right on. Praise the Lord for that. That's good. All right, Jeff, you are. Thanks, Lisa.
I did not have the pleasure of meeting Chuck in 1971 like a lot of you.
I wonder why.
A little bit later.
Yeah.
But he was one of three Chucks that God kind of sent in my life just to speak to me. And going to his church, seeing him walk up to the podium, he always limped. And me being a physical therapist, that always bothered me, and I said, if I could just work with this man and work on his walk, I would just appreciate that. And 2 years later at my work, after he had his stroke, God placed him in my unit, in my care, and wow. me as the lead therapist.
Oh, wow.
And just getting to know Chuck, you know, when someone has a stroke, a lot of times makes you question things. We see a lot of things in the hospital, and it's kind of gut check time to see really what you believe, who you are as a yeah. person. And just getting to know him both in the hospital, and I continued to help him because he wanted to get to Israel a couple months later, of course, you know, never wanting to stop.
Yeah.
Just seeing just the strength that he had and just the love of God and how nothing was going to slow him down because he knew that God had him. And there was never any time in his entire stay and any time when I worked with him that he ever showed a sign that there was weakness in him
yeah.
because he just gave his life to God and God strengthened him.
Amen.
And there was never yeah. any doubt that anything would stop him
because
yeah. He had the Lord. So
amen.
I
amen.
Just love that about him. What you see in the front up in the lights on the podium was the same man you
yeah.
saw behind the scenes in the hospital bed.
Amen. Isn't that good to know? Amen. That tells you it's the real deal. Genuine. All right, Mara.
I'm not a Pastor Chuck direct fan, but what I do appreciate was the music from Calvary Chapel.
Mm.
And I love that he broke open all the religious stuff about drums and guitars and
yeah.
and just welcomed anyone. It didn't matter. And that music really was my strength as a young believer.
Amen. That's good. We talked about that last night in service. That's good. Thank the Lord for that.
I don't know if anyone's ever said to you when you invited them to church, I don't have any clothes that are appropriate for church. And I remember I was one of those in the tent days and when the people were complaining about the hippies and their dirty feet. And what Chuck did was, how can I show love to these people? And he girded his loins with a towel and he got the basin. That's what Jesus would do, and he washed their feet. And
wow.
so his idea being to share. It's not what's on the outside, but what's on in your heart, what's on the inside.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell people when I invite them to church. And what's really neat, when you come in refuge, there's Pastor Bill, there you are, wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And you know, we're just, it's not what's on the outside.
Yeah.
And you see love in that smile right there, and you see love in your smile and in the leaders of this church. So.
Praise the Lord.
So I just always think of, I was a hippie too, but, and it's not, it's what's in my heart.
Amen.
That's where it is.
That's right. Right on. All right.
I don't like talking on a mic, but I have to say this because my husband and I were married at 20 and in college at going to Long Beach State.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother had become a Jesus freak. One of my good friends had become a Jesus freak. And what we were curious about is what was all of this about? So we were studying. We were, you know, into education, intellect. We thought, okay, well, we'll just go to that church down the way in Costa Mesa. At that time, it was a church. It wasn't the 10 anymore. It was 1975. So George and I were one of the couples that just kind of went a little late sometimes, but Chuck kept keeping people in, so we would go sit on the floor right in front on the carpet.
Yes.
And there was Papa Chuck. That's what we called him because he was like a dad to us, young college kids that, you know, just wanted to know what was the reason for our existence. We were searching out all the worldly philosophies, but he gave us the Word of God simply and completely, always directing us to the Word of God. And it was unconditional love that we saw in him, but through him, the Holy Spirit, and how to, I remember that, you know, he was encouraging us all to go to Bible studies, to go to more classes on the Bible, and that's where we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we went to a class called Jesus More Than a Carpenter. We got to know our Lord Jesus, because who Chuck was is... he was kind of a representation of our Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And throughout the years, we've never forgotten the man, though we met him maybe a few times, and we just remember his smile. We remember how he just led us to Jesus.
Amen.
And we're so thankful for that.
Right on. Thanks, Rody. All right, we got one more for sure, maybe two, but if there's one more, let's stop it at that. Oh, look at that, right there.
Oh.
I went to Calvary in 73. Mm-hmm. One of the ladies here in the congregation, she babysat my sister, and she talked a lot about the Lord. And there were a lot of Bible studies going around at high school and so on. And so a girl brought me down there, and it was in the tent. It was Tom Stipe and The Way were playing. Mm. And so that night I accepted Christ, and it was my first exposure to, you know, real Christianity. Mm-hmm. And then we started going to the Bible studies with Pastor Chuck. And there were Sunday nights, 10 chapters a night. Sat on the stool.
Yes.
And the Bible studies were 7 to 10 a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually how a bunch of us got into the Word, was going to his studies.
Sunday
and,
nights, yeah.
Yeah, they were really powerful studies,
they
and
were.
It was awesome. And then after, you know, you'd go other places, you could listen to his tapes. And so just getting into the Word, and every time you'd have a problem, he'd always say, well, you know, you need to repent and get in your Word, you know.
Yeah,
and so he led you to the Word, and the Word actually is, you don't have to take things out of context because you learn the Word.
That's
so you
right.
can open your Bible and read a scripture.
Amen.
And know what the Lord means. And that's Chuck's legacy to me, is that, you know, he got me into the Word.
Amen. Right on. That's great.
Hey, I was not at the tent days. I missed out on those. And I'll say that the love of Jesus Christ impacted my life and changed me. But the Jesus said that rivers of living water will flow through us. And what's incredible to me is that God loves us through people. Mm-hmm. He loves us through people. I didn't have a single Christian who walked up to me. I grew up in San Diego and never had a Christian. Well, I avoided them. But I didn't have a Christian who walked up to me. But in my car, listening to the radio, I started to hear, my wife and I, as Andrew and I, were driving quite a bit, and started to hear the teaching of the Word of God. Mm. And just God showed up in my car and answered my question and loved me. And I was so moved. Mm. And I remember hearing one of the teachers teaching, and I thought the radio turned off because there was this long pause. And and then he started teaching again, like, this guy paused. It was Chuck. I didn't know that. And I remember thinking, I wonder how this guy got on the radio. And it was the simple teaching of the Word of God. And it was the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But that God works through people is an amazing thing. That is, and Paul calls that his grace. Mm. Paul always talks about the ministry of God as being his grace to me. And it was God's grace to choose Chuck Smith to love the people of God and to see that reach around the world. Mm. Getting to go to Romania and see a Calvary Chapel, a church where the love of God, people are so amazed at the love of God here. That's legacy.
Mm.
To go to Mississippi and see a place where a hurricane has absolutely destroyed, absolutely demolished a town. And they never heard of Calvary Chapel. They don't know what Calvary Chapel is. But there were so many people from Calvary Chapels who've been touched by the ministry through people, through Chuck, through more people teaching the Word. Mm. And to see the love of God poured out like rivers of living water heal a place that had been absolutely destroyed. And the love of God, when we came on the scene, another circus tent set up in the middle of a tiny little town in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. And to see the love of God poured out through people, through pastors who had been touched by simple teaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Through a guy named Chuck Smith, who was a humble guy,
yeah.
who was just a regular everyday guy, who just studied, obeyed, and taught the Word of God.
Mm.
And that those rivers reach around the world amazes me.
Yeah.
And it was when we heard the news, and I was talking to Andrea on the phone, and she said to me, what would our family be? Where would we be? My kids would grow up in a house, and if I hadn't heard the Word of God, if they hadn't put it on the radio and reached my heart and changed my life, but God worked through a man, and that we get to do the same and reach out to others with the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I say thank Jesus for Chuck.
Right on. Thank you, Chris. Look up here real quickly. Closing thoughts here. I mentioned to you that in a memorial, last thing you want to do is call people to respond. And I think the response for us is, let's finish well. Let's encourage one another to finish well. We don't know when our race is going to be over. I don't know how many of us will live to 86. But regardless of when the end of our race is, I think the call is the same. Let's finish well. And how do you do that? This is a passage that Chuck loved. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, right? You, therefore, beloved, that's you guys, since you know these things beforehand, beware, take caution, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Chuck was steadfast, right? That's part of what we've talked about. That's part of that legacy. He just continued on. He pressed on. He carried on right to the very end. That's being steadfast. So beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. How do you do that? Well, you grow. You continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't stop. You're saved by grace, as we've heard people talk about, but you grow in grace. You live by grace. It doesn't stop. You continue to grow in the grace by living it out, by people seeing it in you, by relying upon the grace of God, by not thinking, well, hey, I've arrived and you need to be like me. No, it's all about the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. That's what grace is. And you continue to grow in that. That doesn't stop. That continues on. And also continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not facts about him, but a relationship, an experiential knowledge. As a matter of fact, that's what that word there speaks of. It's just a knowledge that comes by experience, by having relationship with. Not just knowing stuff about, but having life with, relating with. That's how you grow in the knowledge of Jesus. He's a part of your life. He was a part of Chuck's life. It wasn't a pretentious thing. It wasn't like, well, I got to be this religious guy outside the pulpit. It was just who he was, because he had a relationship that grew. It didn't stop. It continued to grow. That's how you stay steadfast in the Lord. That's one response. The other, very quickly, last thing for you guys, Hebrews 12, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Sin does that, right? It just so easily ensnares us. But let us run with endurance. Chuck was an example of that, running with endurance, carrying on. And the stuff that slows you down, the weights of life, and you know what they are. You don't need people to tell you. I mean, they don't even know, for that matter. But you know, and the Lord will show you that stuff in your life that slows you down, that this race called life that maybe you think, man, I'm barely jogging. I'm not even walking right now. And the Lord says, just get rid of that stuff. The stuff that slows you down, just be done with it. And then you can run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this is the key at the end, looking unto Jesus. That's how we do that. We look unto Jesus because he's the author, he's the one that got you here, and the finisher of your faith. He saved you, but he's going to carry you through. But if you don't look to him, be like, I'm going to do this on my own, he'll let you, but you will fall flat in your face, right? But you continue to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Then you can run that race with endurance. Then you can finish well. Amen? Let's pray and we'll sing together. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for the stories that we've heard. Lord, they're testimonies, and they ultimately are, Lord, just bragging about you, your grace, your goodness, your love, your word, Lord, your spirit. You provided what we need to press on, to run our race, to finish well, to run with endurance, Lord. We don't look at Chuck and think he had an advantage, that he was an exception. Lord, he was an exceptional example. But Lord, you gave him the same that you give us, your spirit living inside us, your word for us to partake of and to feed upon and to share, to nourish ourselves with and pass it on. We have that same thing, Lord. And so I pray, God, help me. Help those of us in this room that desire to run well, to run with endurance, to do that, Lord, to continue to grow in grace, not in works and our own strength and self-righteousness, but to grow in grace and knowing you, Lord, to get rid of the stuff that just slows us down in this race of life. Lord, we want to run well, and we look to you to help us to do that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to close with this song. We're going to sing it together. We're going to sing it a cappella, and let's belt it out together, shall we? This is from number 6, by the way. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.